You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Fuck you, assholes. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling with Drusa Cogburn. Drew.
Fuck you too, buddy.
How you doing, Marianne? What you drinking over there? Is that what I think it is?
It's just some orange and cream, some Stewart's.
But it's Stewart's orange and cream. God, that's so
delicious.
This stuff is so good.
Yeah, I drank, two of them? This is my third. Got one more to go.
You mean today?
Yeah, I only drank that 4-pack today.
You only got a 4-pack? You're drinking that like an alcoholic drinks a 4-pack of tall boys?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm so jealous.
Delicious.
I can't remember the last time I had one of those.
It's caffeine free, so that's why I'm so tired.
That's part of why you're so tired.
Uh-huh.
That's part of the reason. Well, I thank you, Drew, for taking a little bit of time to do this impromptu sort of bonus episode. Wasn't planning on doing one tonight. Was supposed to do a trivia show at the Cork and Fork like I do every Wednesday at 7.
That did not work out.
Only one person showed up. Technically three people, but one person who's there all the time. She shows up all the time. She's a very nice lady, very cool. I like her very much, obviously. She brought two people with her. A great opportunity to convert two people into Curtis Earth Trivia fans. But literally no one else showed up. Now, it was raining like the heavens opened up, God is angry type of rain. Like, I was sitting in the car in the parking lot, looking down, and the parking lot next to me with the curb where the car stops, it was half of that was water.
Yeah,
it was 2 inches of water.
Uh-huh.
It was bad.
It's going to happen every day this summer.
Yes, every day, but not at that time necessarily. I don't know. We'll see.
Perhaps
it happens earlier and earlier. Or is it happening later and later?
It's happening later and later.
God.
This year, I've noticed.
Well, last year was happening later. That sucks.
And from the year before and the year before, the rainstorms used to be at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, 2 or 3.
Now they're at 7.
God, that's not good. Because that's when trivia starts. So you guys get to the Cork and Fork early, get inside, beat the rain, watch me hoof all this equipment inside in the rain and try to keep it dry with an umbrella. Oh, it was so true. At least the speaker made it.
Good job.
The speaker made it. That's what really matters.
You need to get like some Visqueen you keep in your car.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get something. I'm going to need a speaker condom. And no one showed up, so I was like, fuck it, this sucks. I'm not getting paid tonight. Came home.
Now you're here.
Now we're going to do a bonus episode, one that I wanted to do anyway. And now, fortunately, I can put it out today, guys. This is good for you. And also, moral of the story, come out to the Cork and Fork and check out some awesome trivia. It's good food. Drew will attest to that.
I will.
And they have OBP on tap. They have $5 sangrias. It's I'm hosting trivia. I'm cracking jokes. I gotta say, last week was probably, you weren't there.
No.
My mom was, so she can attest to this. But then it gets my mom. So, but there was only 8 people there. Probably the smallest crowd I had, intimate crowd. But I went with it and threw out a lot of jokes and I got a lot of laughter. It felt really good. I felt like a good show. And I was disappointed that there weren't more people there.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to here we go. But yeah, guys, it's a good show. Come on, it's a lot of fun anyway. It's. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema. I'm going to delete all that. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling with Drusa Cogburn. Drew, how you doing?
Fuck you, dude.
Fuck you, assholes. Let's do some movie news. First off, I didn't watch the trailer. At this point, I don't need to watch a trailer.
Trailer for what?
For Logan Lucky. Daniel Craig. You didn't see that trailer?
No.
Daniel Craig is in a movie called Logan Lucky. It's a heist movie. What's notable about this movie... I think the trailer also does the thing where it's like an introducing Daniel Craig. He's doing like a crazy performance. I think it's the first movie by Steven Soderbergh since he said he was going to stop making movies.
Uh-huh.
And then he started making 10-hour movies for TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie. It's a movie that he's distributing himself, or at least co-distributing, but it's a heist movie, and he says in comparison to Ocean's, people ask him, well, if it's a heist movie, what separates it from Ocean's 11, 12, and 13? This is exactly what Steven Soderbergh said. When I read the script, it felt like it was kind of a film that I like to watch, the kind of film I like to make. It was different. It didn't feel like a repeat of the Ocean's movie. Here we go. This is the key part. It's in the same universe, but in a different galaxy. So think about that. That's how he's going to approach this.
Sure.
What does that even mean? I have no idea. Meanwhile, Ocean's 8, he's working as a consultant on that one, so that when the movie comes out, it's still going to feel like a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Even though it's not.
But they want it to...
But it's based on...
It's totally based on his style. It's his style that informs these movies. He has a very specific style that people don't even key in on because it's so formal. I like Soderbergh movies. Even...
Yeah, they're good.
What was the last few that came out? Side Effects was fun. Channing Tatum, Rooney Mara. That was the drug side effects one,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, that was weird.
Right, weird. Yeah. And what was the other one he did right before that? Haywire, the Gina Carano. It's his version of like a 90s action movie.
So, once again,
drama heavy weird. And yeah. But there's that one scene where she fought Michael Fassbender in the hotel room. This article I pulled, it's kind of old, it's been updated. I know the update. Wonder Woman has been banned in Lebanon.
Go figure.
Lebanon is officially at war with Israel, technically speaking.
And Gal Gadot is definitely Israeli.
Gal Gadot is not only is she Israeli, she, like most Israeli citizens, served on the armed forces, mm-hmm. trained for a few years, and even has a Facebook post back in July 2014 supporting the military offensive towards Gaza. And some people, obviously... It's a testy situation over there, the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately. Thousands of years of...
Dozens? Fucking thousands of years.
I said thousands of years. That's why.
So, yeah. It's that holy...
Yeah, it's a skirmish that goes back to the 80s. Reagan started it. Everything was cool before Reagan, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's neo-neoliberalism.
Yeah, no. This is an old war.
Yeah.
I mean...
And as a casualty of this millennia-old war,
yes,
Wonder Woman, the film, has been banned in Lebanon.
I don't think they'd like it much anyway.
Doing like the movie?
Yeah.
Because it's a woman in general?
Very pro-female, very pro-Western as well. I mean, it's
probably it's just World War One. She's fighting for the Allies.
Yeah.
And that's true. But, yeah. It's interesting, though, that Gal Gadot, none of her other movies have... She's been in movies, a bunch of them. The Fast and the Furious ones, mm-hmm. Batman vs. Superman as mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, etc., etc. They all played in Lebanon. They've all played there, so... But nope. Not this one, not Wonder Woman. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman drew getting the best ratings so far on Rotten Tomatoes of any comic book movie.
Any comic book movie?
Yes. Outside of, or if they want to call it superhero movie. The only one with a higher rating is The Incredibles. And that's at 57 reviews. So it's still another 150 to get logged in. That number is going to drop. But this early in, out of 57 reviews, 55 positive.
Huh.
Is what we're looking at.
Interesting.
Wonder Woman may be the movie that DC needs to... But then Justice League's coming right around the corner and just bite them right back down.
With too many people and too much nonsense.
Too much nonsense, and poor Zack Snyder going through heavy familial shit. Mm-hmm. Not even being able to finish it, and he has to give it to Joss Whedon, who's obviously capable of pulling such an endeavor off, but...
Still.
The juice of cough. Every time Drew coughs, take a shot. No, don't do that. You'll die.
Yes, you will. You will die a lot sooner than I will.
Every time he sneezes four times, you're supposed to take a drink.
You're supposed to finish your drink.
Finish your drink. I don't think you've... Have you even sneezed four times on a show once?
I don't think so.
So weird. It's stage fright. That fourth sneeze has stage fright.
Just wait till it happens. It's going to happen when you've just made like a really strong drink. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you sit down, and you're just going to have to chug it.
You're pretty good at that. It's like you intuit. You intuit it somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, oh.
Here we go.
See, it's time. So this dude. Let me see. I'm just going to read the story straight up. In Clarksville, Tennessee, a man by the name of Paul West allegedly became aggravated when the theater's concession stand was closed and refused to refill his popcorn bucket. Now, stupid fucking Facebook. Keep getting this terrible... I'm so a bitch. This guy took an empty bucket of popcorn from the garbage. And then he got pissed when they wouldn't
refill it,
even though they were closed anyway.
Well, fuck that guy.
So he threw the bucket, the garbage bucket, at the employees. Here we go. We got it back.
And the employees punched him in the face.
The, he didn't punch someone, but he did get crazy. And then he knocked over a display. That's what he did. I knew he did something extra. He threw the bucket at a theater employee, knocked over a display, and then ran off into a movie theater where police officers then just went in there and got him. Because mm-hmm. he was just in there watching a movie like nothing happened. Drew, what is the craziest thing you've ever done in a movie theater? Anything worthy of that the police should have been there?
Not really.
Really?
No.
Nothing?
No. I mean, most of the time when I'm if I go to the movies, I'm there to watch
the movie. But even in your teenage days, college days,
even yeah,
you didn't know anyone that worked at a theater. That may have made a difference.
Did you
ever know anyone?
John Phillips used to work at one.
Yeah. So back in the day, didn't he ever take you up to the roof of the theater?
No.
No, nothing like that.
Not really? No. I mean, we got some free tickets, but.
Yeah, sure. That's who I guess.
Yeah, did a lot more illegal things outside the movie theater.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot, standing around outside.
That just makes you a degenerate.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah.
According to James Cameron, robots have become the next big issue.
What?
Here we go. Let me just read you this James Cameron quote. A James Cameron quote. This is when he was promoting the Avatar land over here, the Pandora that everyone's freaking out about over here. He said, quote, "I think it's a much more valid threat than it was when Terminator was made in 1984. Now we're facing job displacement due to automation. Everyone's always talking about those damn foreigners taking our jobs. Guess what, guys? It's not foreigners. It's robots," end quote.
Yeah, I mean, shit, dude. Watch the Animatrix. Those two the two historical documents or whatever.
The Matrix prequel or whatever.
Kind of stuff. Where basically it talks about how, you know, robots came to be and what happened and how it got to the point of, you know, the Matrix.
Man, that's
it's all really fucking good. And the more, I guarantee you, the longer time goes on, the more prophetic it will become.
Yeah, right? Watch it be one of those things. They'll show it to generations later, like kids will be watching this, and some old man would be like, "This used to be entertainment. now it was a prophecy. It's a reckoning.
Yeah,
we did it to listen. We were there."
Yeah,
kids are like, "Shut up, old man. You smell like pee. I peed on myself."
Yeah, uh huh. Well, it's because I'm old and crazy.
I'm old and crazy, and the robots took my balls, and my pee just drips out of the bottom. I don't know how anatomy works.
No, you do not.
The robots are arranged things on the inside as well. What is this?
The robots don't know how anatomy works.
No, they don't. They were not anatomy robots. Yeah. They were busy.
Yeah. That could be problematic.
So, James Gunn's doing all the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Okay.
All right. He is ready to do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Boom, ready to go, ready to start writing.
He has to wait.
You know exactly where I'm going. Why does he have to wait?
Because there are other things that have to happen first.
Yes.
By other directors with his characters.
With his characters, man. Stuff that he created. Other people think, "Oh, no, I need this. I got to do this and that. Now here it is." Yep. I hope I didn't break your toy. Yeah, it's like, God damn it. Now I got to... Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Welcome to the MCU, bro.
That is the MCU. That's the sandbox you got to play in, right? And this is actually from his brother. But, you know, I could skip the whole quote because that's exactly... summed it up.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much creating the sandbox, though, at the same time. Like, he's one of the formative guys who were, you know, at the base level of this whole MCU thing.
That is true.
With the foundations that he's laying will affect what happens in other movies.
Absolutely. He is at least an executive producer on the Infinity Wars movies, if not a producer. So he gets input in there, and I'm sure they go to him for a lot of the outer space stuff, because
it seems to be working the way he does it.
Guardians, so far, Thor will be the next movie, right?
Yeah,
I guess Doctor Strange went interdimensional.
Doctor Strange went interdimensional. So Thor went technically extraterrestrial.
True. Asgard and all the worlds and stuff.
Asgard and the whole world, you know, the universe tree thing, the seven, you know, seven planes of existence.
All right, so they've been there before. It's not like it's something new.
Yeah,
but Guardians just does it so heavy because it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
Not Guardians of Idaho.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Alien Covenant. We're both fans of the movie, right?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, it's one of these divisive ones. Same thing happened in Prometheus. A lot of people liked it, a lot of people didn't. but something that may have affected the movie and the way people saw it. And, you know, there were things in the trailer that were in the trailer that cut out. Like, did you notice? I remember in the marketing, they made a point to be like, oh, we're all couples. Everyone on this, on the Covenant, we're all couples. And, like, that was part of the dialogue, you know? And then the movie itself, that was never explicitly stated. No,
all that part got cut out. Like, a lot of... Seems like a lot of, like, forward. Like... prequel from the movie got quote unquote cut, like things like
all the setup stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, all of it.
Like, there was way more stuff.
Like, all of it got cut.
And it all got. Well, here we go.
Because part of you see of James Franco is him in a fucking box,
right? And
burning.
And there was never meant to be very much of him anyway.
Yeah, but still, even in the trailers, there was more of him.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he was outside the box.
He was outside the box, and the knife stuck in the box. And then he had that one random scene where he's like, that big goofy smile. And that's the first time you see him. He's like, is that James Franco? Like, first look in the box, is that James Franco?
No, it is. Yeah, it's James
Franco. And then in the video, you're like, that's James Franco. Ridley Scott on editing the movie. He says, the only reason I occasionally take my hat off to screenings is you think you know everything, but you know you don't. Okay, something inordinately simple you assumed everyone understands that they don't. That's the key thing, isn't it? You know when it's a bit too long, and also if you're a bit too long, you then ask right speed, too slow, too fast. If they go no, too fast, you go shit, I got to slow down, because as you edit, you can get weary and want to cut. I've always come out at almost 2 hours and 23 minutes first cut, look at it and go, I've got to get to 2 hours. So there's like 20 minutes of Alien Covenant footage that he had to cut out of there. And the point was to ultimately get to the alien faster. And also there was a scene later that he cut to towards the end, because he felt like the audience would have gotten there before him. But that's the thing he does. We've talked a lot about the Ridley Scott director's cuts. Maybe we'll get the Alien Covenant director's
cut. It'll be better.
But that's the thing. Will it be better, though? He did do a director's cut for the original Alien, because Fox asked him to when they were doing the special editions back like almost 20 years ago. God damn it, man. Almost 20 years ago when DVDs were actually worth something, and the studios were like putting money into them into special editions and shit, and they got a James Cameron Aliens director's cut. They hobbled together an Alien 3 director's cut, and then they just put Alien 4 like on a disc and were like, here's a coaster. The first one, there's a whole note on the inside of the DVD sleeve from Ridley Scott. There's notes from all the directors, and on his, it says, Fox, pretty much, in summation, Fox asked me for a director's cut. I felt that the movie I handed in back in 1979 is a director's cut, but to play along, here is a different version with some scenes cut out, and then some scenes with some scenes put in, but to make it work, I had to cut out other scenes. And in the end of the day, the director's cut is 1 minute shorter than the theatrical. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Yeah, it sounds like Ridley Scott,
right? Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
and it is interesting actually. The scene that he puts in his director's cut is a scene way towards the end where the last time is like the last two of them are alive. Ripley goes off by herself, Yaphet Kotto and the other chick, they go off and they die somewhere. While she's off by herself with the torch thing and I guess the cat, she stumbles across Tom Skerritt. He's like the first one to disappear. You never see what happens to him. He's like the second one to disappear.
You just know that he dies horribly.
Yeah, he just dies horribly. But actually, no. In the director's cut, you see him cocooned, aliens style. Just like in Aliens, how they're all up on the wall.
Yeah.
He's cocooned just like that. And I think he's still alive, actually, because he's got the shit in him.
Yeah.
And she comes across him.
They all are still alive.
And she's like, oh my God. And that's when she's like, I'm going to go and blow this fucking shit up and like make sure everything's... but then he had to cut other stuff out to make that work. It's crazy. Let's jump over to some TV stuff, actually. This is, I found fascinating. From year to year, from last year to this year, there's now like a shit ton of scripted television out there, right? Mm-hmm. From last year to this year, only two network shows out of 95, only two have had their ratings go up from last year. Everything else either flatlined or went down. Would you like to take a guess? You know their names. They're not no-name shows. And
do I watch any of them?
One of them.
Gone up?
Gone up. only two out of 95.
I mean, there's no way Game of Thrones could have gotten crazier.
No, I'm talking network.
Okay, network.
ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS. ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS. I'm missing one. ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS. What am I missing?
I have no idea.
Hawaii 5-0 on CBS.
Okay.
All right. Sure. During like their fifth or sixth season.
Okay. I guess now they got good.
The fucking Simpsons! That's why they keep getting renewed, man. Because people are still watching them in droves, which is fine by me. Because I'm not one of these haters that's like, oh, it was only good in the 90s.
I'm not one of these haters that's saying it was only good in the 90s. It's just, I just don't watch enough of it these days.
That's the thing, though. There's so much of it. And with FXX having it on all the time, it's like, that works for me. The fact that I've missed so much of it, because then I can put it on, and there's so many, quote, reruns that I've never seen.
Same thing with South Park for me.
Yeah.
I haven't watched South Park in years.
I would skip it for years at a time, and then, like, check in for a while, and then skip huge chunks. Yeah, I could watch a random episode of South Park and be like, I've never seen this before. Mm-hmm. Speaking of The Simpsons, Homer Simpson got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Nice.
Yeah. He's got that one episode. Yeah. One where the softball team, we're talking baseball. No, we're talking Homer. We're talking baseball is the original. We're talking Homer is the Weird Al style.
Whatever you said.
Simpsons movie. You don't remember that one?
I have no idea.
With Daryl Strawberry, he gets is it Daryl Strawberry that gets sick from working? No, one of them. One of them is like working at the plant because they're all. So it's the power plant. They have a softball team, and it's all people from the plant. And Mr. Burns, I can't remember why. Oh, he places a bet against the Shelbyville team, a huge bet. So he goes and he has a bunch of real players from like the mid 90s, Ken Griffey Jr., Don Mattingly, Daryl Strawberry. He goes out and recruits them, brings them all to Springfield, gives them token jobs at the plant, and then puts them on the team. And everyone else gets relegated to the bench. Oh, gotcha. And so that's the drama, right? And meanwhile, so all these people move to town. So one of them is working at the plant and he's like really into it and enjoying his job and he's all over the place. And then he ends up dying from like radiation poisoning. And then Daryl Strawberry, he keeps drinking Mr. Burns's old school brain tonic or whatever to like get better. And then at the end of the episode, he has like gigantism. He's all fucked up.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then Homer saves the day because all these people get fucked up. And one person gets arrested because he's from New York. So Chief Quimby arrests him for like every murder in the country. Homer gets called to the plate to hit the winning hit or whatever because the bases are loaded. And he's sitting there at the plate and he just gets plunked in the head. Falls over. Brings in the winning run.
Beautiful.
Homer wins the day. He's now in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Good for him.
What have you done?
I cooked Ken Griffey Jr.'s lunch once.
That's awesome. That's great.
That's all I got.
I worked at a law firm that was trying to collect money for an HOA against Ken Griffey's mom.
Well,
that was a bummer.
He came in slate when I was working there.
I'm like, dude, just lunch. Pay. Well, I guess that makes sense. That makes sense that he come in there because his mom's living in town. Mm-hmm. Because she's not paying her HOA dues.
He's fucking massive.
Yeah, he's a giant. Also, the goddamn smoothest swing in baseball. He's like a machine. He got injured, like, pretty. You know how he got injured?
Yeah.
Breaking his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he would have been, like, legit the greatest baseball player ever.
I mean, he's still pretty good.
He's still pretty damn good having to play through all of this. He's like the Grant Hill version of baseball. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Guys, this is Cinema Sports Edisa, right? That's not what we're doing over here. And Animaniacs, they're trying to bring him back.
Cool.
Yep, Steven Spielberg being involved in everything. So,
well, I mean, he should be. It was Steven Spielberg Presents.
It was his baby, and he's like, but I mean, it's not even just in like in name only executive producers and other people run with it. Like, he still wants to be
good.
So expect more Humphrey Bogart cameos.
Well, see, that was the thing. Like, it was, they did stuff like that, but they also did the same type of like 50s and 40s Looney Tunes cameos,
yeah,
but with newer people.
That's true. It did do with like Rambo and shit like that. That's very true.
And because he did that with fucking
Waterworld
and Tiny Toons, because yeah, Steven Spielberg Presents as well.
That's very true. So yeah, we can still see something. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Thank you, Drew, for for knocking me back on my cynicism there. Animaniacs is great. We should look forward to
Animaniacs,
right?
Keeping that Warner Brothers animation alive.
That's one thing Warner Brothers is getting right still after all these years.
Fucking, I was at the comic shop today. Mm-hmm. I saw a graphic novel, Hannah from the Hanna-Barbera universe.
Nice.
The Flintstones.
Why not? Because it already exists. It is. Yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Lap Olympics, all that shit.
They're all combined.
They've already mashed them together for years. They didn't give a fuck. Why not just go ahead and slap a universe on it?
That's what they did.
Good for them. That's so funny. Last story, Twin Peaks. Showtime. Interesting way how you have to parse numbers these days in terms of viewership. Mm-hmm. Only about 600,000 people tuned in for the live debut of Twin Peaks on Showtime, a two-part. Mm-hmm. They showed the first two episodes on the first night. On the Showtime app or whatever, they put up the first four episodes right away. Mm-hmm. So I've already watched the first four. So only 600,000 seems like, oh, that's not good for such a big event with all this marketing, all these stars, et cetera, et cetera. But you throw in like all the additional quote the platforms, right? All the different digital ways people can watch it. It goes up to 1.7 million people tuned in to the Twin Peaks premiere as of by Friday, so within that first week.
Well, and here's the thing, with it being, you know, on demand and possible, this, that, the other, you're never gonna really know how many people watch your fucking
right
show.
Exactly. Like, how are they figuring these numbers out to begin with? No one's asking me what I'm watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Already tapping in. Are they watching what I'm watching? How do they know?
Seriously.
Where are they getting this info from?
Are you a Nielsen family, Chris?
I am not. I've never been. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
We were back in the day.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, my dad got us on it.
Oh, you can get on it?
Apparently, there's a way to get on it.
All right, now you got to break this down. I got no idea. What do you remember about it?
I don't
remember. Were you really young?
I don't remember anything. I had no idea.
It was just a box sitting there?
There was a box sitting there that fucking apparently found out what I was watching on TV.
Mr. Nielsen didn't come by himself to, like, adjust it every now and then, check the antenna?
No.
No?
Crazy.
You were a Nielsen fan.
Yes. So I had a company invading my privacy well before anybody else.
Oh, man. Good for you. You guys are lucky.
My metadata is so old.
It's an analog footprint. It's so old.
I've got analog metadata.
It's carbon copied in triplicate.
Somewhere.
So, decent debut, I think, for Twin Peaks, which is pretty cool. 18 episodes they're doing. And I think it's just one season, 18 episodes. It's all David Lynch directed all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a David Lynch fan, then I don't know if you can watch it. Etchy couldn't.
So here's the thing.
Etchy might be able to watch the original Twin Peaks because it's much more in the vein of the TV of the time, which was the soap operas and shit like that. This Twin Peaks is, I'm guessing, David Lynch is doing his thing and sort of in the vein of, like, well, you know, a lot of people are just doing whatever they want now on cable television.
So let's give us what I want.
It is fucking crazy. It is, but there's, like, sections, there's stretches that are boring as fuck, but then it's followed up by a section that's like, what the fuck is going on? Then I want answers, and like, oh, finally, after three episodes, I got an answer. But then it's like, here's 1,000. Anyway, it's ridiculous. You should watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was thinking about that because you watched some of the original show.
Yeah.
You know basically what happened. Did you watch the movie? Well, then, yeah. Just having that basis is all you need because it's, man, it's so crazy. There's like a box that a dude's just watching.
He's just watching a box.
Waiting for something to happen.
Cool.
Oh, man.
What's going to happen, Chris?
Oh, man. Guys.
I bet you it's like a tiny little clown toy on the spring that pops out. Just hee-hee.
Like, yeah, what's that thing? The Impossible Box?
Exactly.
In Fargo?
Yes.
What the fuck is that thing?
Well, it's a box that you build, and the entire point of the box is to press a lever. But when you press the lever, a little hand comes out and presses the lever back. Which, so on and so forth. So all it really does is open slightly and close. And that's the only thing the box does.
That's the only thing it does.
Yes, that is the purpose of the box. It's pretty dumb.
Is it though?
Yes.
Not if you put a nice light in there.
It's still dumb.
But if it works.
But the point of the box is you can't put anything in it. It defeats the purpose of the box.
Does it though? But the purpose of the box is to not put anything in there.
then why have the box? Boxes are to have things put inside of them.
Is it though?
Yes, that is a box's purpose.
It's a very patriarchal view.
the purpose of the box be filled.
What's the purpose? The purpose of the box is to be filled. This is your AM men's rights slogan.
No, talking about a cardboard box.
Are you listening, ladies? The purpose of the box is to be filled.
Chris, did you put something in this box?
Oh, man, that box. This app is...
Did you put something in this box, Chris?
Yeah, I think
is this box full?
I wouldn't call it full, but
is there something in the box?
See how long it took me.
See, the box is filled its purpose because there's something inside it.
True. But sometimes, though, it'll fill its purpose if there's nothing inside it.
Nothing! Absolutely nothing! Stupid!
Boxes are for things. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes it can be...
An empty box is a worthless box.
It could be about the aesthete of it. The aesthete? How do you say that word?
Ick.
But there's... No, there's... No, it's a... Goddamn, I'm gonna look it up here. Guys, if you want to stop listening to the show, it's fine.
It's pretty much over now.
We're just talking about stuff. No, this word. Oh, that's why the word doesn't work, because I'm using it incorrectly.
There we go.
An aesthete.
Okay.
It's a person who has or affects to have a special appreciation of art and beauty. A person who appreciates the aesthetics of something. An aesthete. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, what were we saying?
I don't know.
A box could just be like a nice carved piece of wood. Just be a nice looking box. It's all sanded down, and you get like the grains going. It's pretty.
And you put stuff in it.
And you could have something on it or around it, or it could be just its own thing, its own piece of art.
But if it's hollow, then it's meant for something to be put inside.
There is something inside it. The hand that comes out and then hits the lever and then it goes back in. How is she going to carry the hand around?
You don't need the hand. The box is pointless. It's a pointless box.
Is it though?
Yes.
What if it's a round box, it's pointless.
Makes no difference, Chris.
Can you have a round box? Is that possible?
Yes.
It is, right?
Have you ever seen a hat box? Most of them are round. Quite common, actually.
Yeah, see, so if you're so like, I'm back and forth on that one, then how come you can't come with me on this box there, where the box can just be its own thing? You gotta be like, no, it's gotta have a purpose.
It should be filled.
The box must be filled with my stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
You're about how they canceled those, not canceled, I'm sorry, but how they had those scheduled two screenings of Wonder Woman in the Alamo Drafthouse in Austin, Texas, like the flagship Alamo.
Uh-huh.
Two screenings just for women in attendance. Women only. Okay. All women audience.
Cool.
Of course.
Good for you, ladies.
Of course.
Watch that shit.
Of course.
Some dude asshole was like, damn it, I want to see the show. Why is it just for women? I want to be there.
How come we can't get an all men's? Is that what he wants? An all men's? Why?
Why? That's
a guy who feels like his men's rights are being trampled on.
Well, see, here's the thing, Chris. What he doesn't realize is that the Sunday afternoon 2 o'clock show, it's going to be all men.
Yeah, right? Well, probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. Most movies are all men. They're made by men, featuring men for men.
Dude, chill the fuck out.
I'm not allowed to be a man anymore.
Yes, you are.
I want to be a dude.
So be a dude.
No, I'm not allowed to. If you're a dude, then it's like... Oh, PC, blah, blah, snowflake, trigger warning, cucktard.
I mean, just don't be a douchebag.
That's the thing, man. They're all douchebags. That's nothing about gender. Nothing to do with them. Just
be a dude. All
terrible people.
You can be a dude. And we'll just be like, dude, you're a dude. That's cool. But most dudes are douchebags.
There's a bunch of good dudes out there.
So,
but there's so many douches.
Exactly.
So many douches. Yeah. And they got so mad.
Good
that,
for them.
That theater dared to give two screenings to women for a movie called Wonder Woman.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's a movie about a female superhero. Why not have a bunch of ladies go watch it together?
Dude, I don't know. Did they get upset about all women screenings of Sex and City or Mean Girls?
No. Right? No, they did not. Because they wanted nothing to do with those.
Man, you know what's fucked up? How America's all like, our football players can beat women and do drugs, etc., and we'll keep watching. But once one of them kneels and expresses his outrage over something, I'm gonna boycott the NFL, etc. Colin Kaepernick's pretty much been blackballed from the NFL.
Okay, good. You know what that means? That means at its root, the NFL is ignorant and misogynist.
Oh, it's
and
the worst.
All of those things. All of the worst parts of it, that means the NFL stands up for those things.
It does, yes.
And that is its platform.
And it stands soon in for it.
And the people who, you know, participate in the NFL and those things are complicit in those actions as well.
So complicit.
So, yeah. Good for them.
I know, right? And then it makes me really not want to like football at all.
So don't.
The Crespediso Football Fantasy League starts. So if you guys want to join in the Fantasy League, let me know. I simply renewed last year's league, and a couple people didn't play, so I'm going to have to eliminate some slots and get some people in there. You see about this Kofi Fifi thing?
Yes. Yes. What the fuck? Everybody's going pretty crazy.
Okay, but...
over Kofi Fifi.
But the best part of Kofi Fifi,
yeah.
Besides for when Billy Eichner tweeted, "When they go low, we Kofi Fifi." Man, I love that guy. He's so funny. Spicer. Mr. Melissa McCarthy himself. Yes. I apparently, his marching orders is Trump makes no mistakes. So when people asked him about the tweet, what did he mean by Kofifi? What's this typo? Spicer said, that's not a typo. He didn't misspell anything. He meant to write that.
Oh, no.
And then they were like, what is that? What does he mean? He's like, he meant to write that. That's, I'm not here to tell you what the president means, but... He defended Kofifi. Oh, no. That's the world we live in. Satire is dead because that's the world we live in, Drew.
Oh, no.
You know how people for years were saying idiocracy? No, idiocracy is here.
No, yeah, we're working on it.
We've gone beyond idiocracy. We're moving towards children of men. It's fucked up.
Oh, I mean, this is... I mean, they're pretty much just, you know, tearing down democracy. I mean, once you can't decipher what the truth is from... anything, you know, there's no trust in truth,
right?
Then it's over.
Once it's fake news and alternative facts and all that jazz, how do you win?
People can't trust anything. Without trust, there's no democracy.
Yeah, it's a real bummer.
And then it becomes what?
Well, then what's left? What comes after?
An autocracy, right? With a ritual.
But it's also a nation of 350 million people, 350 million guns. Are those guns finally going to come in handy?
Well, I mean, perhaps.
Is that what Americans have been... The only time these goddamn guns will come in handy, I swear to God, is we have to rise up against this authoritarian government. Problem is, half those guns, no, probably three-quarters of those guns, belong to people who are all like, I like Trump, I vote for him, he seems like a nice guy, media's not giving him a fair shake. My mom's neighbors, all her old white neighbors, they're all like, Trump's... getting not a fair shake in the media.
I mean, that's fine. When Trump exits out of the Paris Agreement and Florida is underwater, they can be even more pissed off.
They don't care about that shit. They see that as... they might as well be calling that fake news. Like, Trump is saying it. Like, black people! poor people! Like, what? I'm so confused.
He's crazy.
I'm so confused by the world, Drew.
He is crazy, and he makes little to no sense. And when I hear him speak, I'm like, this is the man who represents an entire... The Western world is the man who represents... But here's the thing, Chris.
Yeah.
If he goes, President Pence... Oh, fuck no.
The line of secession gets worse.
No.
The line of secession gets worse.
You are insane. I would much rather have Donald Trump in power than Mike Pence.
Oliver went down the line. It goes Pence, and then it goes President... Paul Ryan, who's practically evil incarnate. You would think he's evil incarnate, except that the guy who's next in line for that, who's this motherfucking...
What is it, Jeff Sessions?
Orrin Hatch?
Oh, you mean the oldest, whitest, most racist man in the South?
The guy who makes Jeff Sessions look like Oprah Winfrey.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's fourth in line. It gets worse after him, unbelievably. At least his incompetence keeps him from getting things done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so...
It is.
My anxiety is...
it's cool, dude.
It's really keying up right now.
Dude.
Listen, chill. Listen, when they go low, we Kofifi. Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to be a shirt. If that's not a shirt, then I don't know nothing about nothing.
And I've already seen Kofifi shirts.
Also, man, it's like... I want to talk about this shit so much, all this stuff, but then people, like, a lot of people want to hear it, but a lot of people don't want to hear it, you know, and they get really pissed off when you start telling them how they're stupid because they back such horrible, life-destroying policies.
I'm not sure.
I haven't talked to Big Mike since, like, 5-6 months before the election.
I mean, I'm not...
He unfriended me on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry.
Isn't that a bummer?
No.
Because, never anything directed at him, but I like to point out that Republicans are racist as fuck, and with... evidence every time article, you felt the need to unfriend me.
Yeah,
real bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, you know, that's fine. You don't like having your privilege pointed out or your showing that your shit stinks too over there. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
So and then there's shit like Tom and Dan. They before the election, they have a huge platform. I love those guys. They would not talk shit about politics at all because their thing is like we're the opposite of that.
Yeah, well,
which I respect, which is it's 100%. The Mediocre Time is the opposite of politics.
I'm sure that their personal politics differs quite from that of their audience.
Yes, it does so much. So much. There, and
so
now, after the fact, after the election, Dan's a little more like, he's a little more like, this sucks. But they're still like, this is not a show about politics, so they stay away from all that stuff. But then half their audience is like, we love our guns, but abortion should be illegal, and I'm pro-life, but give me my weapons. Like, that dude lives right next to us with his bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Isn't it on the same sticker?
Uh-huh. It's the dude that had the garage sale. It's that dude.
Did he have a Trump sticker on that truck?
Yeah, he did.
He took it off.
I know he did. He probably feels bad.
You better feel bad, old white piece of shit. He's old, and he's white.
Uh-huh. And see, people who voted for Trump are voting for the status quo.
Not even status quo. But the one that they feel slipping away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're voting for the past. They're voting mm-hmm. for the coal miners when we need to be talking about renewable energy.
The coal miners. Coal.
Yeah. Coal. Exactly.
We need these. How many? 60,000 people? I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but we're going to cater to 0.0001% of the population so that the entire world can melt?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that if, you know, like, the state of Florida and the state of Texas just all put up Tesla tiles, like, we could probably power a whole lot of shit.
Between
have a bunch of energy left over.
Between Florida, Texas, California, and the Great Plains, all that solar and wind power that could be harvested? Come on.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, when he's not face deep in Amber Heard's thighs, he is trying to save the world with Tesla batteries and whatnot. Yes. We're gonna have ways to save all mm-hmm. this energy that we can create, and not with Trump, and not with Republicans, not with big oil and big coal. Is that even a thing? No, that's just a talking point. No, that's just trying to get
big coal is still a thing.
I guess it's still a thing, right?
New coal, fracking, all that shit, it's still fucking burning fossil fuels.
Fracking is for sure, yeah.
All that shit. All we're doing is burning fossil fuels, which is...
But fracking's also a huge reason why oil prices are so low now.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
It's a weird thing. Yes, it's still fossil fuels, but it's not a new source of them.
It's not. But we're lighting our water on fire.
Yeah, man. Florida has the second worst water in the country.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Mm-hmm. A lot of water here in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's the second worst. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I don't feel so bad about all that bottled water. All those articles tell me I'm stupid for buying bottled water, I don't feel so bad about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as you recycle your bottles. If you don't recycle your bottles, then you are a piece of shit.
Fair enough. We're all full of it. And in that manner, yes, 100%, I am fucking full of shit. I don't recycle. Yeah. I should be recycling. There's actually some bins over there.
Yeah. Oh, are there? Where?
Over by the front dumpster.
Front dumpster.
Yeah, you gotta walk an extra 30 seconds. You have to pass. Yeah,
more like minute. That's a good 60 second walk.
I mean,
it's deceivingly long.
Round trip. Yeah, it's fair enough. That's true. It's like 200 steps.
Easily. Easily 200 steps.
Yes, all right. I'm full of shit for non recycling. Mm-hmm. I should be recycling more. I should be doing that. That still doesn't stop the Republicans. You know what I do want to do? You know how over here on Maitland Avenue, are people still recording? Over on Maitland Avenue, there's a women's health clinic over there.
Okay.
And you've never seen the protesters?
No.
Old white people mm-hmm. who stand out there with gigantic signs mm-hmm. with like fetuses on them and mm-hmm. shit, like trying to shame people as they go mm-hmm. in there. I want to do the thing where I whip up my own signs where it's like, fuck these people or something like that, and just stand next to them. But what, you guys, you're allowed to be here, I'm allowed to be here too. Yeah. Right?
Fuck
free,
guys.
Free fucking country. Fuck you guys. That's such bullshit.
It is. My favorite is when they drag their children into it, who obviously understand what the fuck is going on, and they're holding up the most horrible signs.
That is child abuse. That is child abuse. They get away with it because Christianity. Because evangelical Christianity, specifically. You know, you ain't seen no Catholics out there doing that stuff.
No.
But you do see the evangelicals doing it. Well, members of my family, extended family evangelicals, bums me out, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how unchristlike the Christians are.
So unchristlike. 70% of polled evangelicals think Trump's doing a good job.
Yeah, so they're awful people.
Well, yeah, they're all hypocrites. Looking forward to the next life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about this one.
Oblivion.
Yeah. No, heaven, man. Oh, it's a big white waiting room with couches and chaise lounges, and we'll all be talking to each other and not wanting nothing, but there'll be food. And
it's going to be really bad when you show up to the pearly gates and Yahweh talks to you in Hebrew.
Yahweh.
And you stare at him like, what?
What?
Excuse me? Then you're surrounded by brown people.
It's like, oh, chosen people. That's what
But
I'm white American. White American as white American cheese.
Yeah, do you have any idea how many Jews are in heaven?
Do Jews even believe in heaven? Is there a Jewish heaven?
Oh, it's a Christian thing.
They never talk about afterlife really in the Old Testament. When someone dies, even if they get taken up away into the sky, they just get taken away. But they're still angels, though. There's some sort of other ethereal life going on, for sure. I don't know if it's like heaven, but there's something going on.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Jesus was a Jew.
Oh, man. Speaking of white American cheese, over at Publix, they got this at the hot food section before 10 a.m. They serve breakfast, and I get me a bagel with a sausage, egg, and cheese bagel. First off, this is hysterical. One time, the eggs, it's like just a ring, right? And obviously they make it over there, the ring mold, and it's like it's whipped, so it comes out like all one color. It's all yellow and shit. I'm walking over there to like go order some food, and someone's walking by with the tray to take it, the eggs, and they're all like double thickness. And she brings them over, and she's like, obviously new, and the person there's like, oh, you use two eggs. Each one, you're not supposed to use one, but they had to use them anyway. So I got one that was a double egg sandwich, but then it was so thick that I was like, by the end, I was disgusted. I was like, oh, this is too much. It's ridiculous. American cheese on them sausage patties. Man. Man, oh man. That's the way to go.
It's a big-ass cheese.
It's a deli cheese, so it's not fake. It's just mild and creamy as opposed to having flavor.
But it
molds really well with the sausage, and it actually complements it.
Did you drink a can of America for lunch?
A cup of America. How about a cup of Good Morning America? That's from Twin Peaks Firewalk with me. Harry Dean Stan always these guys coffee. He's like, how about a cup of Good Morning America? Anyone? And they don't respond. He's like, all right. And then he comes back with three cups of coffee. He's like, there you go. And he says it again, a cup of Good Morning America. He says it twice.
So how do you put a TV show into a cup?
The whole TV show?
I'm confused.
Good Morning America? How do you
put it in a cup?
How do you put it in a cup? Matt Lauer. You buy to mix Matt Lauer. Right? Is he on that one?
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
This has devolved quickly, Chris. Actually, quite slowly.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're done. Oh, wait. Yeah, we're done. Okay.